speak to you this week in the mornings on the book of Psalms. And we'll turn to Psalm 1, we'll read that, and then we'll go to the last Psalm, which is 150, and we'll read that before we get into the lesson today. But I love the book of Psalms. Now, we know that the word Psalms is songs, like we were singing this morning. And I went to Bible college, they taught us that it's not chapters, that you say Psalm 1, Psalm 2, Psalm 150, whatever, and then you have the verses like you would in a song. And I know that we have some times that sing the Psalms as a chorus or whatever the case may be. And I just love the Psalms. There's just something about them. And Psalm 23, of course, is one of my favorite ones. And we'll talk about that later in the week. But in Psalm verse 1 of Psalm 1, we find the words here. And a lady came up to me recently in our church. I preached this message in Psalm 1. And she came up to me and she said, this was the first sermon text that I had used for the first sermon that I preached as senior pastor at the church 25 years ago. Now, she remembered that, but I didn't remember that. I had a Brother Sadler's daughter used to be in our church as a member, and she would mark down every time a pastor preached from a text, she would mark it down. And so after the service, if I'd use the same text that I'd used before, she'd always say, well, I heard that sermon before. And I said, no, you really didn't. I said, you heard the text before, but it was a different, had different points, different message, and so forth. And what I have found in my studies is that you learn something from God's Word all the time. There's some things that just, you know, you've read, you've studied, you've heard preached or taught, and you just think, I got that down, and then all of a sudden you're studying your own time, or maybe a preacher's preaching, or a Sunday school teacher's teaching, and maybe, you know, or your devotionals, and you say, man, that just leaps out at me, and I've never really seen it like that before, and it does something, it just encourages you to keep on keeping on reading the Bible. But let's look at Psalm 1, verse number 1. Blessed, or that word means happy, is the man that walketh not, now notice this, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So if you want to be happy, you don't want to do those things that he just told us not to do. And a lot of people get caught up in that, and it's easy to get caught up in it. And I think probably every Christian goes through that in counseling with the ungodly and going the way of sinners, standing the way of sinners, and sitteth in the seat of the scornful, the criticizers and complainers. In verse number 2, but notice this, it says, starts out with, blessed is the man that walketh not in these things. And in verse number 2, it said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But verse 4 says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Verse 6 says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now, just to think about that a minute, I mean, that's black and white. You know, I mean, it's completely opposites. And what God tells us in His Word is for our benefit, to help us, and to be blessed, and to be prosperous, and to live a good life. And I mentioned yesterday in my prayer the abundant life that God gives us in this life. Now, you may be thinking today, you know, I don't have that much, and I've not really accumulated much in my lifetime. Well, I can tell you this, if you ever go to a foreign mission field, you can just go across the border at Mexico. And when you come home, you will feel like you're one of the richest people on earth. And that's why missionaries and native missionaries and their people, they think Americans just have all kinds of money. We don't think we do in comparison to some. But in comparison to them, the Lord has been real good to us, very good to us, much better than we deserve. Now let's turn back to the last Psalm in Psalm 150. Psalm 150, I love this psalm too. I love them all the way through, and I'll explain that to you in just a moment. But in Psalm 150, it says this, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with a psaltery and harp. Praise him with a timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So in our lives, as saved people, as members of one of the Lord's true New Testament Baptist churches, we ought to be praising God every day. I mean, I'm almost ashamed of myself when I find myself complaining about things. We had such I don't know if you did here, I'm sure you did, but read about it and heard about it, but we had so much rain in the spring, and people got tired of rain. Then we have a dry spell, and we have all this heat. We were wanting the heat, and we were wanting the dry, and now that we have it, if we don't watch ourselves, we're complaining about it. And I try my best not to. And the crops, we thought, man, it's just going to destroy the crops. But my wife was reading the other day and said that the corn crop in Ohio is going to be great this year. Bumper crop. Where we camp is about 45 minutes from our house, and we drive, and we used to notice as the corn came up, going back and forth, man. And I mean, it just seemed like overnight it would shoot up, you know. And we've been noticing how green it is. We went to Steele, Missouri, Blytheville, Arkansas just recently and drove some 450 miles or so from our house. And I'm telling you what, you just see the green out there. And I mean the beauty of it and the green trees and the green grass. And I don't mind the green grass. It has to be mowed, but I love it. I love to see what God's doing. And so what I'm saying is we have so much more to praise God for than we do to complain about. And God never puts more on us than we can bear. Now, I love the Psalms, and one of the reasons that I love the Psalms is because David just bore his heart. He just bared his heart to all of us and to the Lord. And if you read through those, you can find yourself in the Psalms. There are days that you're on the mountaintop, David was. There are days when he was rejoicing and worshiping God and praising God. And there were other days that he was down in the valley. And he was desperate. And he was very desperate. And he would cry out to God when he's in the valley and his enemies were upon him. And he would say, make haste, O Lord. I mean, come on, I need you now. Help me, I need help. And I know all of us go through those times in our life. There's times that everything seems to be going right and falling into place and everything, and we're so happy. And then, boy, I mean, it could be the next week and the bottom fall out and everything looks terrible. And you think, how in the world are we ever going to get out of this mess? But God is still in control and he's still in charge. I remember challenging our school kids to learn Psalm 176. No, there isn't no Psalm 176. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Cecil was looking for it. No, he wasn't. I'm just kidding. Psalm 119 has 176 verses. Now, is anybody here, could they quote those 176 verses? Raise your hand if you can. Anybody? Sierra can. She's raising her hand. I'm not surprised. Grandchildren are much smarter, aren't they? They really are. But we went to an ACE convention. And I wasn't there, but our school did. And there was a young lady that stood and quoted 176 verses of Psalm 119. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's amazing. But I would dare to say that if these young people here set their mind to it, they could do it. If you practiced it and you studied it, I have no doubt that you could do it. I really don't. But I think probably those of us that are older, we'd have a little harder time doing that. But anyway, there are a lot of reasons to read the book of Psalms. Everyone has needs, and the Psalms is a book that has many helps for us and answers. David wrote some 73 of the 150 Psalms. Wrote about almost half of the Psalms he wrote. And David was a great young man as a shepherd boy that killed Goliath. We talked about that. Just some of us were talking about Goliath last night and his height and all that. And then David rose to become king of Israel. And David was perhaps one of the greatest men that ever lived. And yet David wasn't sinless. He sinned. And if we don't watch, most of the time we think about David, we think about his sin. But when people think about us, what do you want them to think about? You want them to think about our sin? No, you want them to think about how the Lord has blessed us and how we've served God and how we've been faithful and all those kind of things. So I try not to get hung up. Now, we do preach sermons about David's sin and about Peter's sin and so forth, but I try not to dwell on that. I want to dwell on the positive things in their life. David was a great man. God used him greatly. In fact, the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. And someone read after one writer, and he said that he believed that was because David was always willing to ask forgiveness from God. David knew that he had sinned. You read Psalm 51. We might talk about that later this week. But in Psalm 51, David said, it's me. I've sinned. And against the Lord, I've sinned. And you know what? If we could come to that place and recognize and realize that when we sin, it's against God. And I mentioned yesterday, we don't see much repentance. We don't see many people saying, I'm sorry for my sin. They just think, you know, well, everybody else is doing it, so what? Big deal. But our relationship with the Lord, our fellowship with the Lord, our relationship in salvation never changes, but our fellowship with the Lord does. And you know what? God doesn't move. It's us. He never changes. It's us, and our fellowship with him is not always what it ought to be. And then we're not as happy as we could be, blessed as the first psalm says. But in the Psalms, we find there's some divisions, and I don't know, probably Brother Reynolds has taught you this before, but I was studying this, and I came across this. It said that the book of Psalms has five different separations, five different books, actually. And the first one is found in Psalm 1:1 through Psalm 41:13. And I read this, and it said it's similar in many ways to the book of Genesis. Now think about that. From the very beginning of Psalms to Psalm 41, verse 13, it's similar in many ways to the book of Genesis. Many of these Psalms discuss humans as blessed, as fallen, and as redeemed by God. And I came across that, and it got me to thinking about all these things. That the Psalms are divided into five books, 1:1 through 41:13, is similar to the book of Genesis, because of the discussion of humans and being blessed and then fallen and then redeemed by the Lord. And then the second book of Psalms is found in Psalm 42 verse 1 through Psalm 72 verse 20. And it's similar in many ways to the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible. And most of these Psalms discuss the rescued nation of Israel and how God rescues us. So the similarities are there. And you know, as you begin to study the Bible, it all fits together. And I mean, there's nothing in there that's contradictory. There's nothing in there that shouldn't be in there. God superintended over this, and he put his word like he wanted his word. And if there's a problem in getting it all together, it's our problem. We don't understand it, and we're trying to get all that to work out. Then the third book of Psalms is found in Psalm 73, verse 1 through Psalm 89, 52. Now, you right away, you know that this is similar to the book of Leviticus. And the reason for that is that these Psalms praise God because he is holy and he deserves our worship and our reverence, just like we find in the book of Leviticus and the praising of God there, and knowing that he's holy and he deserves our worship and our reverence. The fourth book of Psalms is found in Psalm 90, verse 1 through 106, verse 48. Now, this is similar to the book of Numbers. As you study these things out, the relationship of God's kingdom to other nations. And we think about that. Psalm 90, verse 1 through 106, verse 48 is similar to the book of Numbers. Then the fifth book, the last book, is Psalm 107, verse 1 through Psalm 150, in the last verse there, verse 6, is similar to the book of Deuteronomy. In that these Psalms are anthems of praise. We read Psalm 150 and you saw that. And thanksgiving for God and for his word. And so as you begin to divide those things up and you begin to study and you keep them kind of in that pattern there, that will help you in your study, of course, of the first five books of the Old Testament, which are the Pentateuch. Now, this morning, I want to look at five things that are themes that we find in the book of Psalms, and then the rest of the week we'll get into a particular psalm and talk about that. The themes that we find in the Psalms. The first thing I think of when I think about a theme in the book of Psalms, I think of praise. Praise to God. It said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So let's look at some verses. I won't give all of them, but just a few verses this morning, perhaps about praise. Let's look at Psalm 9, verse 1. Psalm 9, verse number 1. The Bible says this in Psalm 9, 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. And so on. We've gone with that. But notice what it says, beginning of that psalm, and it does in a lot of these psalms, that I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. Now, why are we here? Tell me why we're here. You say, well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Why are we here? We're here to worship God. We're here to give God honor and glory. We're here to witness to a lost and dying world. God has service for all of us to do. All of us have a particular part of God's will that He has for us specifically. Now, I believe that God has a general will for all of us in getting us where He wants us to be so that we can serve Him. But I believe in our service that He has a specific will for us. Most preachers, Brother Reynolds and I have talked about this, most of us never thought about being a preacher. Never thought about being a pastor. Never thought about that. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher and you thought, man, I'll never be a, you know, I don't know enough to teach Sunday. But you're teaching Sunday school and you're singing. Maybe you're playing the piano. Maybe you're youth directors or whatever the case may be. And you never saw yourself really doing that. So why did God leave you here after He saved you? He had a particular plan for your life and to influence others and to be a good example to other people. Those that come behind us and they're watching us. My wife and I, the other day, we were feeling pretty low and some things had happened and we were feeling pretty down. And lady, I don't know if she, Facebook, is it what she was on? Lady that's not a member of our church anymore. She, I've known her since she was a teenager and I used to try to go by and visit and her sister would come to church and she wouldn't come to church and so forth. And this is long before I was a pastor. And one day she started coming to church. The Lord saved her, and she was baptized and became a member of the church, married one of the guys in the church, and then they had some problems, and she left and so forth. And just the other day when we're feeling at our lowest, my wife's reading this to me, and this girl is saying, I hear that you're retiring from pastoring. You and Mrs. Riddick are going to be doing some other things, and I just want to tell you how much I love you and how much y'all mean to me. And you know, I mean, she left the church. I didn't think she cared a thing about us. And my wife said, God knows when you need that, and He always sends it to you. If you're lowest ebb, He sends you something like that. And so I was very thankful. And something like that that you don't really even ever expect to happen. But God does that. And so we're here to praise Him and to worship Him and so forth. Psalm 33. Let's turn to Psalm 33. Psalm 33, 1 and 2. The Bible says in Psalm 33, verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto Him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. Praising the Lord. We praise Him with our lips. You know what? When we pick up this songbook, you notice that? This is to praise the Lord. These words in these songs are praising the Lord. And you can go through here and you just open it up. And whatever number they pick out, you know, just like tell me the old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. Tell me the story simply as to a little child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. Tell me the old story. Tell me the old story. Tell me the old story of Jesus and His love. I don't know about you, but those songs never get old to me. I love the old hymns. I love it means something. It does something to your heart. Now, I like different kinds of, different melodies and so forth, of music and so forth. And I like some that, you know, you tap your toes a little bit and stuff like that. And you go, boy, I like that. It's kind of upbeat now. But I love the words that praise the Lord. And honestly, that's what we're doing when we're singing out of the hymnal. And a lot of people come in church and they never open their book and they miss part of the worship service. And some may look, they're singing it and they've got a scowl on their face, and I'm thinking, man, they're missing it. That's part of the worship service. And the offering, that's part of the worship service. We're blessed. God has blessed us. And we're able to give back to Him a portion of what He's given to us. And that's part of the worship service that we'll talk about a little bit later. But praising God. Let me ask you a question. How much do you praise God with your life, with your personality, we say, with your voice, with your example? How much do we praise God? I'd rather be dead than be a bad influence or stumbling block for the cause of Christ. I really had. And I know that's dangerous to say, but I really had. Psalm 138, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 138, verse 1 and 2. David says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth, for thou hast magnified, listen, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now people get hung up because we believe the King James Bible is inerrant and infallible word of God. But God's word right here says, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That shows you how important the Word of God is, because His name is certainly greatly important. And so we think about praising the Lord. Not only that, but in the Psalms we find out about God's power. And there are many, many scriptures that we could read. But let's turn to Psalm 27:1. Psalm 27:1. God's power. Think about how powerful God really is and how He is able to do anything but fail. In Psalm 27, verse 1, it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, here's the deal. We don't have the power. God does. But God works through us. He strengthens us. He gives us the energy that we need to keep on keeping on for the honor and glory of God. And you young people out there don't understand this now. But when you get up over 50, you'll begin to understand. My dad used to say that you can't get tired till you're 35. And young people don't believe that. We got our oldest granddaughter. She'll come in and say, how you doing, Lauren? She said, oh, I'm so tired. I said, are you 35 yet? She said, no. But Dad, what he meant by that was when you get up in the morning and you're just as tired as you were when you went to bed the night before, then you know what tired is. Till then, you don't know. And when you get older, it's hard to bounce back. But God gives us the strength. God gives us the energy. God uses us in His service, and He always gives us exactly what we need. Psalm 46:1. So when your kids tell you they're tired, tell them they're not 35 yet. That was a wise man, my dad, that told us that. We used to look forward to being 35 just so we could say we're tired. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He is our strength. You can't serve God in your own power. Do you know that? You can't live the Christian life in your own power. You don't have the strength. You don't have the ability to do it. You're not able to do it in your own power and strength. The Bible says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so God lives through us. That's how we live the Christian life. He lives it through us. And we're fit vessels to be used in His service. Then let's look at Psalm 138, verse number 7. Psalm 138, verse number 7. The Bible says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. God is able to do anything but fail. He is a powerful God, and we know that He is. We know that He's sovereign. You're taught that all the time. And that's shown by His creation. Just think about God's creation. How wonderful that really is. And how everything just works like it's supposed to work. Until man gets in there and messes it up, of course. His creation, the history we know, and then about His Word. A third thing, one of the themes in Psalms, and I like this, is forgiveness. forgiveness. Being forgiven by Almighty God. Let's look at Psalm 100. Psalm 32, verse number 1. Forgiveness. Think about that. It said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And of course, we know it's covered by the Lord. Let's turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? Psalm 51. David, of course, is confessing his sin before God, and he'd sinned with Bathsheba, had her husband killed. And then he says in Psalm 51, verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, which is sin, overstepping God's law. Verse 2 says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before thee, me. In verse 4 it says, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Now he says, purge me with hyssop, and we know that's branches that they use to spread the blood over the doorposts and so forth. And I shall be clean, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And then David, after that, he tells the Lord what he's going to do. But he's asking for God's forgiveness. You know that when we sin, our sin is against God. Our sin is against God. Now, sometimes it may be against the church too. It may be against an individual. And we ought to be Christian enough to be willing to ask God to forgive us, and to ask the church to forgive us, and to ask those individuals or families that we've offended to forgive us. But you notice in verse 12, David doesn't say, I want my salvation back. He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Have you lived in your Christian life and there have been times when things were in your life that hindered your fellowship with God and you didn't have that joy? Have you ever felt like you were just going through the motions and nothing really seemed to be... You didn't feel it. I guess for lack of a better word, you just didn't feel it. Like you had the joy and the peace and all of that kind of thing. And you just went along. I've gone through times like that in my life. And I've told you about that before, but I didn't quit going to church. That's what a lot of people do. When they get sin in their life and their fellowship's not right with God, they'll quit church or they'll get mad at the preacher or they get mad at the members or whatever the case may be. And then they start sitting farther and farther away from the preacher and that kind of thing, and they don't stay around fellowship and all. You know, you can see it happening. You can see it happening in people's lives. And it's almost like you're helpless. It's like with your children. When your children go astray and not serving God, and you've told them everything, you've tried to teach them, and you begin to question yourself and everything, and they're still out there, and you feel so helpless because they're adults and you can't make them anymore. And you get all of that going on. But then, like David, he asked God to forgive him. And you know what God did when David asked him for forgiveness? What did God do? Did he say, well, David, listen, I want to wait a while and see if you can prove yourself. David, you've done so bad, I don't know if I can forgive you or not. No, the Lord forgives us. He's faithful. He's just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so he forgives us. And then David says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, the salvation the Lord has given us, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And so there's a lot to be said for forgiveness, and thank God that he does forgive us when we confess it and repent of it. Another theme that we find in the Psalms is that of thankfulness. Let's look at Psalm 100. Psalm 100. I love this passage of Scripture in Psalm 100. There's a song that we sing that goes along that come before his presence with thanksgiving and so forth. But in Psalm 100 in verse 1, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now look at verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I like to hear children say thank you. I like to hear that. I know they're being taught that. We had a family that we tried to help, and we did a lot for them personally. And the children never even acknowledged anything that we'd ever done for them. Never said thank you. Their mother didn't either. Now I want to tell you something. If there's one thing that I want to be thankful for everything that people do for me, that God does for me. I don't want to be a taker. I want to be a giver. But when I'm on the receiving end, I want to be thankful for what people have done, what God has done for me. Like I said yesterday, we don't deserve anything, and yet God has blessed us so much. Let's look at Psalm 105, verse 1. Psalm 105, verse number 1. The Bible says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. And so we're to be thankful. We see we are grateful to God for his concern and mercy, and he provides for us, he protects us, and he guides us every day. You know, sometimes we pray for God's leadership guidance. He's already leading and guiding. What we need to do is follow his leadership and his guidance. He's already out there. He's ahead of us. And we just follow his leadership and his guidance. Then the next thing, another theme that we find in the Psalms is trust. Now I know I'm going over these pretty quickly, but you can read all through the Psalms, and some of the same scriptures will go for different themes that we have here. But trust. Let's look at Psalm 31:1. Psalm 31, verse 1. Here's what the Bible says. In thee, Psalm 31, verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust, and let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness.